This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is where accomplishment and harmony coexist. Now, here's your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the Live Your Spa Life Show. I am so excited for you to be joining us here as we have a conversation around spa life, where it's a lifestyle where accomplishment and harmony coexist. I am so thrilled to have our special guest today, Morgana Ray, who is an international best-selling author. She's a teacher, retreat leader, and for over 20 years, she has led in the forefront of personal development. And she is widely regarded as the world's leading relationship and money coach, that combination. So Morgana, thank you so much for being here today and having this conversation.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So good to hear. You know, one of the things is, you know, you've had so many groundbreaking programs around creating wealth, and you've been on ABC, NBC, just so many things, CNN, Wall Street. And one of the things that I love and one of the things that connected me with you originally, I brought it here because I was so excited, maybe backwards is, right? Financial alchemy, right? Yeah. You know, for those of you that you can see this on Facebook when we show, you'll be able to see it. But for those of you who will just be hearing us, I'm showing this beautiful picture of Morgana's book called Financial Alchemy, and a picture of her just playing in money. And, you know, Morgana is one of those first people that really spoke to my soul, my heart about playing with money and about being in that, and that being a thought leader as she is around the topic of wealth and relationship. I just wanted to jump in here and have you guys talk, you know, have you, Morgana, tell us a little bit about how you came into this work.
It's like the big cosmic joke, because I never set out to be a money coach. It kind of came around because I was so bad at money. And I had an Ivy League education, and I had half a dozen certifications. I even had movie star clients as a coach, and getting results and really good at marketing and all the things you're supposed to do. I took all the classes, did everything I was supposed to do. And I was failing at the money piece, and not just by a little bit. I was living in Los Angeles, one of the most expensive cities in the world. And at the worst, like my darkest moment back in 2002, I was making $100 a month.
Wow.
Which is impressive.
And to still be able to live in LA.
Well, I was borrowing, and I was in my 30s and borrowing from my father, borrowing credit card debt. And it was, you know, I had a lot of shame around it. As you can imagine, because I'm telling people I can help them with their lives. And I was, but I had the secret, and it was soul crushing. And I remember I had just taken another class. So like, I'm not making money, but I'm taking all these classes thinking right. This one's going to solve the problem. And I'm working with coaches thinking this one's going to solve the problem. And they were all great. And it was all kind of a waste at that time, because for instance, I was taking a class in overcoming sales objections, where you learn the scripts for if somebody says, I can't afford it, or I don't have time. There are things that you're supposed to say. And I was so good at it because I'm such a good student. 7 people in a row said they would hire me, and 0 paid and 0 showed up. And that was when I ran out of hope. And it was like, as my husband would say, the wheels just went off the cart. Yes. And I remember being in my bedroom of my little one-bedroom $1,000 apartment in LA, pulling closed the drapes, blacking out the room, and just like getting on my bed and screaming in such despair and fear and rage and hopelessness. And when I had cried myself out, I had 2 thoughts. One was, it occurred to me that money needed to be my next area of spiritual growth, because maybe because I'm from Southern California, spirituality is like my safe space, right?
Right.
And the other was, I got really curious about what was inside of me that couldn't be with money, because on paper, I should have been doing great. And it was really soon after that, just a couple of days after that, I had my transformation. And what it really boiled down to was, I had to imagine money was a person. And when I did that, the person who my money was at that time was so scary and abusive and repulsive to me that, well, of course, it didn't matter that I did everything right. There was something deep inside of me, in my subconscious and in my heart, that had to keep it away as if my life depended on it. And I knew that that could never change until I got rid of that personification, what I call that money monster. It was a big, scary, dirty, violent biker. Who knew? Who knew I thought that way about money until I imagined that all this pain I was in was a person. And then, so I got rid of the biker, which created a new problem. I live in LA and I just got rid of my only relationship with money and I needed one. And I thought to myself, well, who could I want in my life so much that I'd be willing to have this person in my life, even if it was money? And I'm like racing through it. But I instantly saw this beautiful, loving, tall, dark, handsome, romantic man who was in love with me. Who was it? Like he was in a tuxedo. He was holding a bouquet of flowers. He wanted to woo me. He wanted to be with me. And I'd been pushing him away all those years as if he was a monster, breaking his heart. And he didn't deserve that. And I trusted him. And I felt so different about him. And I wanted to keep him. So I asked him what he needed to stay with me. And he told me he needed me to love him. So we made a deal that I would stop treating him like a monster. And that was, oh, way over $1 million ago. My financial situation is real and business and life has changed dramatically. And maybe 5.5 years ago, I did the same process with my relationship with love. And then I met my husband. Oh. And so that really changed my life. I'm very happily married, as you know.
Yes, yes. We love Devin. And I love hearing about your weddings. And we'll talk about that here in a moment.
Okay.
And one of the things I love about, you know, your journey is one, you know, thank you so much for being vulnerable to that, because I know there's so many of our listeners who can really relate to being in a place where they're showing up as one thing. I call it the facade. You know, everyone wants to look successful and put together, and, you know, we help people and, you know, we can do that, but things behind the scenes isn't always what, you know, they're cracked up to be, or sometimes we don't always have people in our space, or just, you know, that connecting with people of just feeling, like you said, the shame or just out of alignment or out of integrity. And that's such a struggle for so many people. So thank you so much for sharing that journey of yours and how you were able to move through that. And one of the things that I share with my clients is that so many people, they live a life of default. They just have things happen day in, day out without having some intentionality behind it. And so I'd love for us to talk a little bit more about creating a life of design, you know, where you're consciously choosing this. And I know with your money, honey, and really, you know, having this agreement with him is that you've intentionally really not only visualized, but you see this real flesh person that has really taken you on this journey. So I'd love to hear, you know, what are some of the things that you've done to consciously create what I call your spa life, where you have this lifestyle?
Well, as I get older, I get deeper into my intuition. So like I have my smart girl background and I love smarts and science and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've taken all these classes and the funny thing is the stuff that I learned in these coaching classes about how to design your business, when I try to do other people's stuff, that doesn't work that well on me. And I had to find my own way. So one of the things I do is at the beginning of every year, and it's in the workbook that you showed, is I create the year very intuitively by just first I look at, okay, what life lesson am I really over? Like, am I sick of? Have I worn out? Could I write the PhD that I don't want anymore? And I have a ceremony to release that life lesson. And then I request a new life lesson of what I do want to learn. And with an understanding that everything's a lesson. So if I've been struggling with the lesson of poverty or illness or bad relationships, I know that if I request the lessons of health or wealth or love, there is going to be learning. But what lesson do I want to learn? So I start with like this big overarching intention. And then I create the theme, which is like the flavor of the year. This year is Money Goddess. I didn't even know what that would mean, but it was just like, I kept trying to come up with something that made more sense. I was like, nope, Money Goddess just kept reinserting herself. And then I kind of just intuitively, I just asked the universe, what do you want to have happen this year? What's supposed to happen? And then I start filling in the blanks. So back in 2012, I heard go to Asia. And I was like, what? That's way out there. Like, yeah, I've always wanted to go, but that's kind of scary. It's the other side of the planet. What if I fall off? What if I disappear? And I was like, okay, big overseas trip. And she, when I like talk to the universe, I see a black lady. She says, yeah, sure. But no, the, you know, overseas trip. I was like, Australia? She said, sure, you can do that, but that's not what I have in mind. Europe? She says, yeah, you can do that too, but that's not what I have in mind. And so I had my first trip to Bali that year, and that created my goddess retreats that I've now done seven of. And then that led to really why this year is my money goddess year is I wrote a book proposal. I got the best agent for personal development who represents Eckhart Tolle, Brendon Burchard, Marie Kondo, and all those people championing me. And so that's the ride that I'm trying now is conventional publishing because I haven't done it before and it'll grow me and I hope have a really big positive impact in the world. But there's also a piece because we're talking about spa life, pleasure and fun are really high values, not just for me, but my money likes to have fun. And back in 2000, it's kind of embarrassing, but back in 2009, I went on a trip to Australia. I picked a class as an excuse to get over my fear of going such a long distance alone. And after the class, I booked like, oh my God, I booked a youth hostel. And I'm in a dorm room and I'm 42 or something. I just could hear my money honey's voice saying, I can't be here. I don't want a communal bathroom. I'm really unhappy here. And when like money says to me, he doesn't want to be somewhere, I listen. So I checked out and found a hotel room. And then he said, the room is too small. I can't believe that you would drag me across the world. Have you no romance, Morgana? And so I picked a bigger room and he said, okay, this time, next time I want a window with a view of the water and flowers on the balcony. And
go money, honey. He likes to glamp.
Well, you know, he doesn't like me to waste. But there was that feeling like, wow, if my clients could see that I am being so cheap that I'm staying at a youth hostel, like it wasn't appropriate anymore. I guess something in me hadn't realized that I was no longer 18. At 42, I want my own bathroom. So
yeah. Me too, sister.
You know, following this theme, my business, my message shifted from like become a money magnet to make more money by putting love first, because that's my highest value. So actually, I turned down one of the best speaking gigs ever to cross my path. Because I had just gotten married to Devin and I kind of just wanted to be a married lady. And it was during that time that we went on our first trip. Like it wasn't our first trip ever. I think we had been to Azerbaijan and Armenia and Georgia. But about 10 days after we eloped, because he proposed to me while I was in Bali leading my retreat and he was in South Africa on a photography safari. And he proposed over Skype. So I like flew home. I picked him up at the airport the next day. And I was like, seal the deal. I just didn't want the hassle of like an event. And then I thought, okay, that's it, which is another really big joke. Because now I've had 19 weddings. And some of them have been like huge, spectacular with castles and costumes and music and crazy, wonderful. Like who, just speaking to every Disney fairy princess fantasy I've ever had. But it started when I turned down the speaking gig and just to hang out with my husband. And he got an assignment in Mexico. So I went with him to Puerto Vallarta. And while we were there, which is so beautiful, and we were walking by their iconic cathedral. And he said, hey, you want to get married again? And I'm the kind of person who says, sure. And another woman on our tour is ordained in the U.S., not in Mexico. So my husband said, okay, you're it. You're going to marry us. And we just walked to the front of the cathedral, took off our rings, made up new vows. I started crying because it was even better than the first time. People, strangers in the pews were cheering. And that's what gave him the idea that we should get married 100 times in 100 countries. So I've designed my life and my business to have space for what matters most. And there's a way in which my center of gravity shifted. I was married to my business for a long time because I hadn't found my person and I was looking for my person. I mean, romantic love is so important to me. I had to make like money, a cute guy, right?
Of course.
And then when I found my life partner, that just became a lot more interesting to me than business. And I love my work. So I kind of laid low for a couple of years and got married a ton. And worked with a few clients and then started to wake up again this year thinking, I have a new mission. And that's where the book is coming from.
Perfect. So what is that new mission?
The personal and economic empowerment of women. My book is a, you know, I'm calling it Money Goddess. And really, it's my spiritual manifesto for the personal and economic empowerment of women. I was really wounded deeply by the sexism of the election last year. And I haven't really recovered from that. And I'm really passionate about empowering women in the world, you know, to love, honor, and respect ourselves, because I'm part of the group, and to have the leverage to affect positive change in the world.
I love that. You know, always starting with our own journey and being able to share that with other women. And, you know, I love that you actually step outside of your life to really embrace your highest value. I mean, one of the things I love doing with my clients is finding out what are their values and how are they actually reflected in your life. I mean, it's one thing to say the words, but actually to embody those and to have those be your expression in your life. I love that you did that. In fact, one of the things I've been talking about quite a bit lately is that busyness is the new addiction. You know, and that when you ask someone how they are, they say, oh, I'm so busy. And so, you know, we all have the same 24 hours and we get to choose what it is that we get to do. So what are some of the things that you do so that you make the most out of your day?
Well, I actually, and I love that you're bringing this up. I started a new program that I launched last week. So we're a week and a half into it. And I call it My Results Accelerator. And the whole premise of it is getting more done by doing less.
Oh, yes.
Especially really like smart, achievement-oriented women who are, I call them my Athenas, because she's the goddess of wisdom and strategy and she gets stuff done. So I love Athenas. And we get burnt out. We put too much on our to-do list. It can get in the way of love because we're in battle mode. And I have found that the fastest way to achieve the biggest things is smaller, smaller, smaller steps, baby steps, doing less, setting boundaries, all of which can be really unnatural for women, especially in America.
Right.
Where, you know, our movies are grand gestures, you know, and that's a dynamic I call binge and burnout.
No, I totally get that.
We psych ourselves out. So I encouraging the people in my program to be setting timers, especially for the big scary thing that they've been resisting, to shrink it down into a stupid small, that is the technical term, stupid small baby step.
Yes.
And only commit to 20 minutes tops and then they have to stop.
Yes.
And if 20 minutes is too big, 10 minutes, but people are getting stuff done and they're feeling great about themselves because they're doing it in smaller bite sizes. So they're actually getting it done.
I love this. This is such an in alignment, because really when people feel overwhelmed and the anxiety and all the things that they have going on, I utilize the 15 minutes, but I love where it can even be 10 minutes, you know, anything where you have this container to really support yourself to move forward and do the things that you need to do. You may appreciate one of the quotes I love using with my clients is by Clement Watt, take the first step, no more, no less, and the next step will be revealed. So, you know, people look so many steps down the road, but without just being present to the step that you're in right now and to get those things accomplished, you know, it's amazing what we can get done in such a small amount of time. So that is so great. And, you know, I love how you've mentioned about scheduling downtime, and you had mentioned schedule a lot of it. So, you know, we're definitely in alignment with that, because so many women do get burned out and they over plan in their day and they have lists. There's no way they can actually accomplish those. So they set themselves up to fail each day by setting themselves up for that. So to be really strategic about that. And I love that you mentioned Athena, because she's one of my favorites as well, to have that happen. So how would you be able to share with our listeners who feel overwhelmed and feel like there's already, quote, not enough time in the day to slow down and to give themselves that self-care and to be able to really live that spa life aspect of themselves?
Well, what's interesting in this program that I just started, because it's online with little groups and everybody writes down their intentions and what they are going to do and what they did, and then they're just sort of love bombed by the other members of the group. So here's what I find works. Getting a lot of reward, you know, having positive accountability, no shaming, no negativity, no criticism, just like a lot of positive feedback for taking the tiny step. And I've noticed that the self-care versus the self-criticism has been a really huge theme. Yes. Among these people. I like to call on another goddess archetype, Hecate. She's kind of the dark, scary goddess of crossroads and dark moons of classical Greek mythology, which she's really good at, because she hangs out at cemeteries and crossroads are choices. She's really good at saying no. And that is a superpower that women are not raised with.
Yes.
And so the more you can say no and the more you can prioritize, and men are born with a more natural propensity to prioritize. Women, we have this sort of diffuse awareness of everything at all times. And so I may be sitting here, but there might be a picture slightly askew in the other room that is like talking to me.
Absolutely.
So everything is important to all of us at all the time, you know, for most of us women. So learning to set priorities, that you can do everything, but not at the same time. So like in my workbook, which you've seen, the game for planning the year is to break it into quarters and to have as few goals in each quarter as possible, so that you're only working on one thing at a time, or maybe two, but you're not doing everything all at once. And you know that everything will get its turn, just not now. And carve room for the important things first. And there's a difference between important and urgent, is how one of my teachers explained it. Urgent is the stuff we're reacting to. It's the fires that we're putting out, the meals, picking up the kids, getting the tires replaced, all that kind of stuff. The more we put important things first, the fewer urgent things there will be, the fewer emergencies there will be down the road. But put in the important things, like the big rocks, and then fill in the rest in the spaces between the rocks.
Yeah.
And I totally ripped off that rock metaphor from Stephen Covey, who probably got it from somebody else.
Yeah, we all share the such great information that, you know, they say you have to hear things so many different times to actually have it, you know, land for us. So, you know, the more we hear it, the better, right? That's those reminders that are so great. So I'd love for you.
And I make, you know, like the weddings, the time with my husband, those are the big rocks. And I find ways to make money in between. The funny thing is, the year that I met my husband was the year that I decided to have fewer clients. I turned all of my hard physical products, except the workbook, into digital, and worked less and quadrupled my income that year.
That's so great. You know, and people need to hear that, that, you know, it's not about doing more, you know, it's about intentionally, you know, creating your life and being on this journey to do the things that we're here to do. You know, one of the things I love how you kept referring back to just listening to, you know, the universe speaking to you, having, you know, that inner knowing. And I've been on this same path myself as well, where I'm having these little nudges, if you will, from the universe to really expand some of the things I'm doing. And sometimes I'll hear certain things where I'm like, really, really, you want me to do that? And the more I step into that, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, a soul journey and just, you know, a lot of the work that we're talking about here. And it's exciting, but it can be scary at the same time. So it's so great to just be able to listen to that aspect of ourself that, you know, just because something worked before doesn't mean that that's where the universe wants to have us head in the direction that we want to go. So I love that you're so open.
I want to jump on that. In my experience, things work and then they stop, which, by the way, is why I love owning my own business and being the decision maker so I can pivot. Things that used to work gangbusters don't work so well anymore. So you change. Changing is awkward. And for anybody watching who is just starting a business from scratch, everything will take longer than you expect. It is hard. It really is, because you're pushing through gravity, you know, and then it gets easier and easier and builds up momentum. Learn everything you can and then go with your gut.
That's great. I think that once you have those, like the establishment of who you are and who you're authentically being, I think it becomes easier to pivot because you take all that. And, you know, another thing now that you mentioned that is that nothing's a waste of your time. Like, you know, just because you totally pivot, you needed that part of your learning and your journey to really support the things that you're doing. I mean, a lot of people don't know that I was a San Diego police officer, you know, many years ago and working undercover. And a lot of times, you know, you wonder like, well, what was all that work about that led me to where I am here? Well, I've been in thousands of homes. I mean, I'm able to see that discrepancy with people of who they're showing up with and what's behind the scenes. And it's, you know, interwoven itself into my work in so many different ways. So even things that you're not even sure how it works when you're first starting something out, it always supports you in some way and be able to support you. So
I forgot that about you. That is just so wild.
Yes. Crazy stories back in the day, right? So one of the things that you mentioned too about, you know, having more impact is that you talked about charging more. Talk a little bit more about that because I know people have some fears around that.
Well, I know all about the fears, and I actually magnetized two or three mentors going back to 2009, I think. There was a stretch from 2007 to 2009 where I was like, the universe was throwing me self-appointed mentors, including a billionaire. And they all were saying, you're charging too little. Somebody who I didn't know saw my results and saw my price tag online and said, it's hard to believe your testimonials when you're charging so little. It's creating a credibility gap. But the thing when you have a money niche is, who do you attract? Especially with the language I was using, you attract people who don't have money or don't think they have money. And I didn't want to hurt anybody. And there's, you know, all that mishigas, which is Jewish for crazy. And when I changed my price in 2008, because my money honey just said, I don't know how to be with you when you're focusing on such small denominations. And I like had 2 months where I could not get a single client at $375 a month. And then I, out of the blue, in August of 2008, raised my rate to $1,500 and got 20 clients. And because what I was charging was not in alignment and people were getting that it wasn't, you know, despite everything my father would say and the whole thing about supply and demand, people want results more than they want cheap.
Yes.
The clients you want results more than they want cheap. And they perceive me as actually being able to deliver more when I raised my rates.
Right.
Now I'm $60,000.
Right.
Because I really just prefer to work with people for a whole year.
I love that.
And, you know, I just stay at a rate because I'm comfortable. And then it starts to feel off. And I'll get maybe fewer clients or something will just be off. And then I know, oh, it's time to grow again. By the way, here's what happens when you raise your rates. You freak out. You worry about delivering value. And so you up the value you give, because at least for me, because I want to make sure that I'm always over delivering. So I have to be even better.
Right.
And it grows me.
I love that. And I love one of the questions that you ask around that is for people to ask, what's the price point that would re-energize their commitment to their business?
Well, that's a big thing. Like when I feel burnt out and I don't want to participate, odds are, because I love what I do,
right?
Odds are I'm not charging enough and I'm starting to feel abused and beat up. So, you know, you don't want to, because I do honestly, between you and me and everybody watching, I do believe that there's quite a bit of bullshit in our industry and there's kind of a fee war that is not merited. And there's kind of a group that charges more than they deliver. No names.
Right.
And I have a lot of pain around that. And I've seen a lot of people wounded. So the game is not who can make the most money or gouge the most. That's not a healthy relationship with money. That is fear-based.
Right. I love that distinction because, you know, some people would keep thinking, well, I'm just going to keep raising. But what's the transformation that you're providing people? You know, what's the value? You know, I love how you really look at balancing how you feel and energize and being in alignment with that, because you can feel when it's not working for you anymore. And when it's not working for you, it's not working for your clients. And that's where it comes to that, you know, tuning in and seeing like what's happening, what's your internal wisdom guiding you, what's your money honey telling you to keep you on track and guiding with that. So I love that so much. And one of the things I would love to ask you about as well is because one of the things we look at in Spa Life is that your environment and how your environment affects you and how, you know, you feel in your space. And so we want to have a different feeling in our bedroom versus our office versus our family room or kitchen. So I'd love for you to share, what is your favorite room in your home and why?
It's funny because I love to do my work in my bed. So it's like a cocoon and the cat just jumped on the table here. So we may be upstaged.
Okay.
I bought the house because I love the kitchen, even though I don't cook. But it's big and airy and colorful and gorgeous. And my husband cooks and there goes the cat. So that was a big piece. It's the best room in the house. But I love to kind of cocoon in bed when I'm like online, checking on clients, doing coaching calls. And then you may have seen on Facebook that I just remodeled the backyard. So that's my sanctuary. I am so over the moon. It's kind of like being back in Bali. Yeah, you know, like there's a reason I lead retreats in Bali. I mean, if you're going to be working really hard, make it wonderful, make it fun, make it something that calls to your soul. So it's my excuse to go to Bali. And now I've created this for myself in my backyard and it's my happy place.
Oh, you know, it's so fascinating for me that I would say just even over the last month, how many of the guests I've had on the show that have created this sanctuary on their property in their backyard to be in nature and to have that connection and to be out. And, you know, even though we all travel quite a bit, to have that sanctuary created right in our own backyard, literally, is such a treat to be able to have. So I'm so excited for you for having that and to experience that.
It actually came out of, because it was this beautiful green meadow when I left for Bali at the end of April. And when I came back, the weeds were taller than me. I'm short, but still they were taller than me. And that was a problem. And because of, you know, my book project and because of my father's illness, I decided not to go back and lead a second retreat this year. So I thought, oh, I'll just do an intensive at my house. So I did a really high ticket intensive at my house a couple weekends ago. And knowing that people were going to be seeing where I live motivated me to finally design and get the backyard landscape so that I wouldn't have backyard shame.
Good for you. Oh, that's so
great. The intensive more than paid for the backyard.
Well, that's even better, right? Now you can have more gatherings in your beautiful space.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Well, so good. Well, Morgana, thank you so much for sharing your journey and, you know, all of your insights and where that's led you. I mean, I adore you and just love what you're doing and what you're moving into. And I know that our listeners are going to want to stay in connection with you. So how can they do that?
MorganaRay.com, which I'm sure is spelled on the page that you're watching it. That's the best place. I have a 4-part money magnetic video series that you can access at the top. And I have a money love quiz further down on the homepage. This cat just jumped in my arms while you were speaking. It's like cats have no respect for personal boundaries. So yeah, you know, connect with me at MorganaRay.com and get the videos, become part of my community, find out, you know, I send out free high content articles and videos to my subscribers. You can always opt out. And, you know, your prosperity serves the world. Your happiness serves the world. Your right relationship with life serves the world. That is your first job as a human being. As Diane would say, live a spa life and have a positive impact through your own happiness.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. It warms my heart to hear about your journey and all the wonderful things that you bring out. I know that you've impacted hundreds of thousands of people worldwide, and really appreciate you taking the time to spend with us. And for those of you who maybe jumped in and are wondering, what is this conversation that we're having around spa life and about creating that lifestyle of accomplishment and harmony together? You also can get my free gift at dianehoffman.com/guide. And you can have the 9 steps to step into your spa life and to really expand on the conversation that Morgana and I are having here about really living a life of intention and design. And definitely go in and check out what Morgana has. And, you know, you got to look into her money honey and all the wonderful things that she's up to. It's just such a refreshing way to look at life. So thank you again for being here, Morgana. And until we meet again, live your spa life. Bye for now.
Your host and spa life curator, Diane Halfman, wants you to know you can download her free guide to start living your spa life right now. Go to dianehoffman.com and click on the link for the 9 secrets to step into your spa life. Now, live your spa life where accomplishment and harmony coexist.
You know what drives me crazy? When business owners believe that just because they're not on stage speaking, they don't need stage presence. Stages come in all shapes and sizes. You're on the stage when you're in a boardroom, talking to a prospect, or introducing yourself and your company. I invite you to join me on a free educational webinar called How to Triple Your Income Through Speaking. Learn the critical ingredients to make impact and income on any type of stage. Go to speakersuccessformula.com and grab your spot now.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million-dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE, chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.